I'd like to share a few thoughts this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'd like to read chapter 7, verse 15. Says, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. I'd like to drop over now to chapter 8, verse 14. This is same thought as presented again. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. And again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So this is what I believe Solomon wrote, that he saw things happen to the righteous that looked like should have been for the wicked. And he saw things happen to the wicked that looked like should have been for the righteous. I wanted to talk just a little bit about Josiah this morning. I still don't probably have all the answers to, but Josiah's account has always kind of troubled me. In 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, I'll just probably give a little overview. Josiah started reigning when he was real young, I believe 8 years old. His dad was Amasa, which was a wicked king. And his grandfather was Manasseh, which was a very, very wicked king. And we know that Manasseh ended up repenting at the end of his life. God had mercy and forgave him, but he caused a lot of damage and a lot of hurt. And then here's this young boy, Joab, that starts to be king. Josiah, that starts to be king, and he does that which is right in the sight of God. He started rebuilding the temple. They found the book of the law. Apparently, they didn't even have access to it. They found it in the temple when they were remodeling. That tells what kind of state the nation was in. But they found that. Josiah read it. He cried before God. He put sackcloth and ashes on, or repented in sackcloth. And then he sent some men to find out what was going to happen. He realized that God's judgment was set against them just by reading the law that he read, and so he sent people to inquire of the Lord, and they went to, I believe, Huldah the prophetess, and she told him that because he humbled his heart before God, that he would die in peace, and those things would not happen in his lifetime, but they would happen, God's judgment would come after his lifetime. And then we find that Josiah goes through the land. He roots out idolatry, sodomy. He gets rid of the idols, the false gods. He cleanses the land. You know, that would be something that that would be wonderful. That it just He had a heart to serve God. And then in chapter 35, it talks about the Passover that they held. And they said there was no Passover, verse 18, no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. So it was a time of, it looked like a time of real cleansing. Our King James doesn't have this, but the Septuagint has the words in it. It says, there was no king like him before him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all his strength according to all the law of Moses. And after him there rose up none like unto him. He just turned to God. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to do what was right. But then we come down towards the end. I wanted to, I believe it's the 20th verse, 2 Chronicles 35. In verse 20 it says, and after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish, by Euphrates. I'm not sure how to pronounce that altogether. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him. This is the king of Egypt. He sent ambassadors to Josiah saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. And that was the Assyrians. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, I am sore wounded. So they take him back, and Josiah dies from his wound. And I've always struggled with that, trying to figure out, why did that happen? It seemed like such a tragedy. And I wanted to read, you know, I don't know what was in Josiah's mind. I guess it's just all speculation. You know, what would you think if a heathen king told him that God sent him on a mission? Would you believe it? That God sent him on a mission? Would you believe that? Did he discount that in his mind? Was it a part that it would look like weakness if he just backed off and he went back to Jerusalem? Now, this battle was by the river Euphrates that took place. Euphrates, if I'm not mistaken, was the northern boundary of the children of Israel. It was way up there, a long ways from Jerusalem. I don't really know what was in Josiah's mind. And you'd think all the good that he had done that God would have spared him. I've always had trouble with this. I've struggled. You know, why did this have to happen? I want to read another verse now that we've read in Ecclesiastes. again, Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. We read the 15th verse. It said, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness." Then it says, "Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" And verse 17 says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" It seems like these verses are going together to me. But being over righteous, did Josiah think that he could do anything that he wanted to and God was going to just bless him? It said, "Be not righteous overmuch. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" That's a real challenge to me. We know that he perished, and it says he didn't really hearken to the voice of God that came through the Egyptian king, which, you know, to me, I mean, I'd question it too. But you know, it doesn't say that he inquired of the Lord either, as a lot of scriptures do. David, many times it said he inquired of the Lord whether he should go up to battle or not. And did he just get into a thing that he was right? And he got over righteous in his what he was doing right? It puts a challenge, I don't know, in my heart and my soul. All that he did, all the good things that he did, and just, you know, he expected God to but he failed to inquire of the Lord. And I know there's I know God can help us and protect us. I believe that. But I also believe that life is real too. And things happen that maybe shouldn't have really happened. We call them a tragedy. And I get this. He said, "Why should thou destroy thyself?" And that other verse said, "Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" You know, sometimes I've heard comments made when someone's passed away and just said, "Oh, it must have been their time to go." Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe, you know, I don't believe that God just has a certain day out there. He can take us out anytime he wants to. If God wants to take me out, he can take me out no problem anytime he wants to. But I know there's laws that he has put into place, laws of nature, laws of things that work in our universe that happen that I believe our days, and I believe the scriptures talk about that. There's one place that talk about if by reason of strength the days be 80, it yet is soon cut off. But it said by reason of strength. I believe part of it hinges on our responses. I believe we have a responsibility. I believe Josiah had a responsibility. I believe he should have inquired of God whether to go up to that battle or not. And I believe there's another scripture here in chapter 8. In verse 2, he says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Now this word, he said, every purpose there is time. There is time and there's judgment. And this judgment, from what I get, I looked it up, and it has the whole array of the crime and the penalty and the price. But I get the word consequence from that. To every purpose there is time. And that he may be referring about earlier in chapter 3, he talked about, I believe it's 3, he said that there's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. And Lord, help us to help me to be able to discern the seasons and the times for purposes, the right time for certain purposes. There's a time for things to be done, and there's a time for refraining. There's a time knowing that time, and then judgment. There's consequences that come from all of our choices and decisions. Even when we live for God, even when we're serving Him. And I believe it works both ways. It works in the physical. If I fail to observe the laws of nature, the laws that God has put into place, and I just ignore them and I go on, I'm exposing myself to bad consequences. Things can happen, even though I'm living for God and serving Him. If I'm out of season and I do things, I can suffer. And I believe it works physically, and I believe it works spiritually. We can suffer spiritual consequences, spiritual things, because maybe there's things that we don't understand in our walk with God and our faith. Paul, in one place, he talked about supplying the places that they lacked in their faith. Places of understanding that they lacked. He wanted to supply that to help that. But we can have lacks. We can have, and there's consequences. Even though I'm serving God, there's consequences that come from those lacks. From those places that I don't really understand, there's still a consequence that goes with that. And I believe there's a balance to this. And I thought about, there's an Old Testament scripture that mentions, it talks about the watchman. He said, if the watchman sounds the trumpet when a sword comes, it says he delivers his soul. When he sounds the trumpet, he saw the enemy, he sounded the trumpet, he delivered his soul. If he doesn't sound the trumpet, his blood and the blood of others that wasn't a watchman was going to be required at his hand. Pretty serious. But if he sounded the trumpet and the person didn't take warning, then their blood was upon their own head. And I think about different I just believe we have a responsibility in the scriptures talk about watching and praying, walking circumspectly, being on our guard, being watchful and prayerful. Many of our failures, many of our mistakes, many of our places that we failed have come because of a lack of being on our guard and not being prepared and watching ahead of us. And I had another thought. I want to share this with us. Jesus' temptation, one of them, Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself off the temple. Because it is written, He'll give His angels charge of thee, and they'll hold thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." If Jesus would have yielded to that temptation, what do you think would have happened? It never hit me like this before, but I feel like Satan was trying to destroy him. If Jesus would have gotten outside, Jesus said, "It is written, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God." If he would have gotten outside and if he would have jumped off the temple, I don't know if the Lord would have spared him. And I feel like Satan was trying to destroy Christ by appealing to his pride. There's natural laws and things, and I think sometimes I saw a truck one time. It was called, I don't remember the picture of it, it was called something redneck, but they had this truck jacked up. They had a bunch of blocks and bricks and all kinds of things. It may have been a trash can. But it didn't look very good. I wouldn't have wanted to crawl underneath that truck to help them work on it the way they had it jacked up. There's just places that are in our real life, in our real world, that we've got to be on our guard. And I don't want to make this sound like God doesn't help us. I believe God, He helps us to discern when trouble's there. Sometimes He'll just put a feeling that something's not quite right. You need to be careful here. Something's doesn't feel very good. And we need to watch. We need to be on our guard. Physically, spiritually, every which way. Lord, help us to be watchful and to be prayerful and to be on our guard. Looking back and raising our children, Lee and I have talked about this different times. There were places, there were times and places that we thought we were safe. But we weren't. There were times that we felt more relaxed and this is okay. When it involved our children, when it wasn't. And things happened. That shouldn't have happened. Does God protect us? Yes, I believe He does. But at the same time, He has given us a charge to be on our guard, to be watchful, to be prayerful. We recently came across this statement of due diligence. Guess you all have heard of that, due diligence. Due diligence has been used since the mid-15th century in the literal sense, requisite effort. Centuries later, the phrase developed a legal meaning, namely the care that a reasonable person takes to avoid harm to other persons or their property. More recently, due diligence has extended its reach into business context, signifying the research a company performs before engaging in a financial transaction. This meaning may also apply to individuals. People are often advised to perform their due diligence before buying a house. You know, we want God's guidance in our life. We want His direction. We want His blessing and His favor. But that doesn't exempt us from due diligence. That's not a blanket check. That's not a blank check that, you know, that it's just any amount. We've got to have due diligence in our lives, in our hearts, to be diligent, to be on our guard. There's another verse here in Ecclesiastes, 9th chapter and 11th verse. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. And then he goes on, he says, for man also knoweth not his time. You know, time and chance, circumstances, things happen in life. Lord, help us to do our diligence and to be on our guard. I wanted to relate a little story. I remember hearing someone mention it was when they were young, they were in a bicycle race, and the parents, and there was a crowd there watching, and this young man pulled way out ahead of the crowd, and then he just started kind of he was so far ahead, he'd glance over his shoulder. They were way, way back there. He was just coasting along. The crowd was cheering. He'd raise, you know, enjoying the cheers of the crowd. He was so far in the lead. And he got right to the finish line. And this little boy that wasn't near as physically capable as what he was, had been pumping with all of his might over his other shoulder, and he didn't see him coming. And he passed him up right at the finish line. Then he realized that the crowd was cheering for that little boy instead of him. That would have been pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it? Lord, help us today and challenge us to be on our guard, to exercise due diligence in our decisions. And I believe the Lord will help us. I believe. And the thing with Josiah, it's kind of a... in this one verse in... Verse 18 of chapter 7, it said, it is good thing that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. You know, when you look at the overall, it goes well with people of God. I mean, God blesses them. God helps them in so many ways. But that doesn't exempt us from a responsibility of due diligence in our life. To be careful to be what God wants us to be and to be on our guard spiritually, alert of things that are happening. And I believe if we pray and we're diligent, I believe the Lord can help us and bring things to our heart and mind. But if we're just relaxed on the bicycle, it's easy for something to catch up with us. Lord, help us today. Appreciate your attention this morning.